listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well, as usual.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in a variety of topics, including spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many others. And, of course, Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these 9 principles, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so we welcome all those joining us live tonight, as well as those from the archive. We appreciate you being here, appreciate your time. The topic tonight we're going to discuss is forms of divination. And to just kind of get the discussion started, I'd like to just read the definition of what divination is. It's got a couple here. The first one is the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural means. Another definition is prophecy. Another one is perception by intuition or instinctive foresight. And as you can probably tell, it's got the word divine in there, and I think it's rather interesting, and I hope I'm not getting too far ahead, but I think it's rather interesting that, of course, Christianity, among others, you know, is critical of divination, and they prohibit it, and yet the very basis of Christianity depends on divination. That means communication with spirit beings. That means trying to foretell events. That's why they call them prophets, prophecies, prophesying. And it's just interesting. But divination is not this, you know, this horrible thing. You know, a lot of people have probably a bad impression of that, as they do the word occult, which is not necessarily bad either. So with that being said, Dr. Hunter, take it away.
Well, you know, the reason we thought to have this conversation tonight was because of last week and using the inner oracle cards.
Yep.
And how they tend to reflect our discussions or the energy of, you know, the program, people in the chat room, you know, and connecting with people's lives. And how does that happen, you know, in that connection? And that's a form of divination, if you will. And how and what is that? Well, it's tapping into consciousness. And everything, like we coexist with all things, all of nature, each other, the universe, doesn't matter, and we're all connected. So when you focus on something or you have a thought, you're automatically connecting with another energy. Now, what's so profound, of course, and we've shown repeatedly over the programs, is how the inner oracle cards tend to repeat to come up, the same one, or it reflects, again, the conversation that we're having. Somebody can really distinctly relate to the words of a particular card or the message, and it gets us thinking, and it brings something from the unconscious mind to the conscious mind, which is the key element in understanding what divination is. Remember, everything is everywhere, so we're now becoming conscious of it. So we're plugging in, so to speak. I think of it much like radio waves. And you might be on an FM station, your frequency, or an AM frequency, and then it's getting the right station. So we're really plugging in. I happen to love the tarot, but I was doing readings for people years before I was given a deck of tarot cards and learning. Of course, they called it, when I was a teenager, we called it the occult. That's where, you know, it really gets that spooky kind of thought going to it. The occult is dangerous and evil. And it's not. It's just another name for metaphysics. Metaphysics is more an expanded version to include philosophy and psychology, science, whereas the occult is that kind of that invisible place that's so mysterious. But there's really no mystery. It's only mysterious because we're not accustomed to it. It's, again, because we're becoming more conscious. So here's the thing. We're just plugging in. I want to make a really clear distinction, though, between what is an auto-sensory perception that's explainable, like we each have a bat radar. It's located in the front of the forehead and connects back to the pineal gland. Each of us can read energy. We have that sensory perception. That's really the sixth sense. Kind of psychic senses is something we can't explain. It's out of our physical presence. So really what we're doing on the program is connecting with each other psychically. However, the audience has the advantage of hearing our voices. From that, you're going to get a sensory perception. You can tell by a tone, you know, an inflection, something about a mood we're having or discussion. And so that's your sensory perception coming into it. But if there's something behind that, that you can't really, where did I get that from? Now you're going into that divining a psychic connection. So, and using that word divination is really important. The really trendy kinds of divination in my lifetime, in my experience, started with things like palmistry, teacup readers. Boy, that's forever. Using regular deck of playing cards, tarot cards. Now we move on to numerology, which is really another interesting, I'll get to that in a moment. Astrology, another one. Forms of how to divine or extract a relevant piece of information to the consciousness that reflects a particular situation, your psyche, your emotions, your character, and so on. So this might be just a good place to just pause and ask if Michael or Dr. Kelly might have anything to say, because I could go on forever about this.
we're banking on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keep on generating that content. I'm good.
All right, then. Now, in my study, what's been really important for me to know is the relevance and how far-reaching each kind of divination can be. So I'll just start with tarot cards, for instance. Any book that you get is going to have somebody else's interpretation of it. I have my favorites, you know, and so on. But then it's also, and there's 78 cards. But then they say also you read them in reverse. Now, here's the problem with that. If you get your client to shuffle the cards, they pass the deck to you. You have the deck in your hand a certain way, and you're flipping over a certain way. Who's to say that's upside down? Because it was in that exchange of how the cards were received, how you're holding them. So I don't take any consideration to upside down cards. Like that, they mean nothing to me. Every energy has an equal and opposite. So if you're reading all the cards upright, your intuition will tell you. And in relation to other cards, your logic to interpret or translate the energies of them. So that's an important thing to observe. As I went along and studying numerology, I realized that numerology only works for English. So, because we're translating the English language to accurately translate numerical frequencies and imprints of people in their lives, then you would have to know their language of origin. So that's because the whole world is not English. Astrology, well, it also has its limitations logically because we all studied astrology based on 12 planets. Well, that's old news. So, you know, we have...
Now, everyone knows there's only eight. Come on.
That's right. Sure. We have universes of energy. So understanding that divination, when you study it, it's always going to have a limitation if you take it at face value. If you're taking it at the value of the energy to stimulate your consciousness and understand the human dynamic and feel through all your senses how to interpret what you're seeing, now you're relying on that, again, that divine psychic connection. So all of us are getting impressions all the time. We just don't know what they are, and we can't quite understand it. So if you're saying, I really want to tune into psychic energy, okay, well, you're bombarded, and it means nothing. So things only come up when they're emotionally stimulated, if there's a need to know, if you're asked and you plug in or tune into somebody, and that's learning how to manage your own energy, manage your intuitive abilities, sensory perceptions, and knowing the difference. So divination comes in so many forms, whether it's a fingerprint, a palm print, a footprint, a toe, you can read. There's phrenology, you can read face imprints, the skull, you know, there's all kinds of ways to get those psychic impressions. So if anybody has any questions, please write them in the chat. I'll be happy to answer them. Like I say, I started reading the occult and divination when I was about 9, hiding them under my mattress because my religious parents, they got really kind of upset. My mother thought I was possessed.
So, you are, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Self-possessed, I might add.
Well, I was going to say, you know.
Yeah, of course. So there's always something I haven't come across. There's always some new trend, and that's something I'm wary of. But I'm always interested. Yes, can you use rocks and crystals and sticks and sand walking through nature? Something triggers your consciousness like, oh, a bird. But listen up, folks. If a bird flies in your window, it could just be because it was blinded by the sun. It doesn't necessarily mean some profound thing.
Omen.
No, here's the thing. Because we're emotional beings, we're going to interpret through our emotional centers. The less emotional you are, the more accurate your intuition will be. So it does require a certain amount of detachment. And I'm not saying being cold. I'm saying just a bit of objectivity. When I read for people, if I'm invested in their life, I can't read and I'm not going to be accurate. And that's just the way it works. It means that I'm imposing something on that. I mean, I can look at something, I really wish good things for everybody, but if I take that wishing into my desire to only see good things, that's going to infect the reading. So it's not just affecting, it's infecting. So there has to be that step back and the objectivity. If I'm even reading for, I'm trying to read for myself, you know, flip some cards, I know that I'm going to have an emotional take on this because my brain can only process what I know about myself or within the parameters of my life. So what I do is I will, what I call the five elements, because there's five, not four, in different cultures. And I will lay those, I'll shuffle and lay the cards five times, and I'll look for that, what is that one thing or two things that repeat in each one of those layouts? Because that's the thing that I'm going to be avoiding to look at in myself. Because I'm as subjectively objective as I can be. And that's just being honest. That's just the way it goes. It's easier to be objective for others. And again, you can use anything. Some people need to touch somebody. Somebody just needs to hear a voice. It triggers it. Anything. Sometimes it just pops in your head. How good is a zodiac sign reading? You know, I've met a number of astrologers in my life, and I can honestly say two are outstanding. And the reason they're outstanding is because they're intuitive. They know what to extract. They know what to extract in the information, and they apply what they feel. Because you got a whole book, for instance, on Scorpio, then what little pieces are relevant to that individual at that moment? So that's the their intuition guides them in a reading, and to know what's relevant for somebody. And so I think that, yes, I think astrology is awesome, but it depends who. I had charts done for all my kids. I had charts done. Yes, I am a Scorpio Tubbs. birthday month, yay, end of October. I had charts done for my grandkids. And it's really a good guide. It doesn't mean you take it literally. It means it's a good guide. It's insightful, informative, and, oh, Tess says she's a Scorpio too. We're kindred spirits. There's certain traits about Scorpio I might add, Tess. This one astrologer, and I'll tell you who's so extraordinary. Scorpios get a bad rap for being very intense and volatile and energetic and so on, but that's not necessarily true. It was back in the 70s when he explained to me there's three stages of Scorpio. There's the serpent, eagle, and the dove. And that in a scorpion's lifetime, when you come to know all those aspects of yourself, then it's to fulfill the knowing of your character through that Scorpio. Kim is saying she's Capricorn, but also dragon in Chinese. You see, now that's interesting. Different calendars will also reflect to different things. That's why you have to take it just in that grain of salt, that in perspective, because it's not only where you're born and where the planets are. It's also what you believe, what your culture is. And you know what I'm saying? If there's so many variables here. The Chinese calendar, which is very different. Who has New Year's when? I know Ukrainian New Year's is on the 7th of July. Or Christmas is on the 7th of July. And New Year's is later. So we're on the... this Roman calendar, and it's still a little bit off. Probably one of the most fascinating books I ever read was on the cycles of life, and it'll come to me who wrote it in a minute. H. Spencer Lewis, thank you for my brain. And he was with the Rosicrucian Order. The cycles of life in sevens, primarily, and you know how we change every 7 years. There's 7 days in a week. There's seven 52-day cycles in a year that corrects on a leap year, and it's really quite fascinating. Then there's cycles of nines, and oh, Patrick's read that book. Good for you, Patrick. It's a great book. I have done, you know, all of my cycles. I try to include that all into the practical numerology course because there's a practicality about numerology. There's also, for me, everything is, although I'm lousy at math and can't calculate a chart to save my life, I do believe that I operate on some weird level of mathematics. And everything has a mathematical equation, even if we're not conscious of it. So when I plug into somebody, I have found it's so much easier for me if I know their birth date and find out where they are in their cycles of life. And again, in the cycles of nines, because it repeats every 9 years. And what they're imprinted at life for. So I look at kind of the biorhythms in the big picture. Once I have that, I'm plugged in. I don't have to work very hard. So I confess that I look for the easy way. So, because sometimes to tune into some people is more difficult than others. Some people are very open. Other people are shut right down. And that doesn't mean to say you can't tune into them. But I love using numbers because it just distracts people too. It puts their guard is down, and now I'm plugged in, so it's easy.
Interesting.
So there's a psychology in doing readings also, and you have to keep that in perspective with, you know, how we're divining information. That's why anybody can be a reader. Not, as Magda would say to me, anybody can read cards, but not everybody is good with people.
Yeah.
So that's a really important factor. So no matter what you're using, whatever you're kind of experimenting with, which is always good to do, practicing with, is just remember that you're dealing with people and always have that, extend that compassion and be very careful of trendiness. I'll tell you a little story. A couple of weeks ago, I went to our local farmer's market, and there's a girl set up there in this tent doing readings for $10. And I'd seen her before. I don't know. I was compelled to go over, and I said, hey, you know, she had a little dog. I really liked the dog. I guess maybe I was attracted more to the dog than I was the reading, but sat down with her and shuffled the cards and did as she asked. She turned three cards over. And she just told me all this stuff. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you'd have told me that 40 years ago, you'd have had me hook, line, and sinker. Oh, you've worked on yourself, have you? Now, I'm looking at her. I was taken aback, I got to tell you, because she couldn't have been more than 26, 28 years old. And I thought, wow. And I said, well, my question is, why did you read them upside down? Well, that's the way they went. And I said, but maybe I handed them to you backwards. I always do it the same way. And she wasn't going to listen to me. Like, that was that, end of story. So I decided that in that moment, we're going to have a little lesson, and I gave unsolicited advice.
Oh, my God.
I know. I did.
I have to have a meeting about that.
I said, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I really think what you said to me is true. But to plug into the today, you know, that would have been more relevant to me. And I said, I said, can I touch your cards? And I flipped those three cards upright. And I said, now that tells a completely different story, which is this, this, and this. And I totally buy that. Well, us light workers, and she went on in this long soliloquy of her being a light worker. And I said, you know, I've been around a little bit, and you're going to find out that most of the things you're attached to and what you believe is usually crap. And she, you know what? She didn't flinch. She didn't flinch. She just thought I was this crazy old lady. And I went, okay. I said, well, I hope you don't mind the unsolicited advice, but there's a, well, I believe the universe sends me where I need to be. And I said, no, I think you did that.
Yep.
So, the universe had nothing to do with it.
You know, and that when you finish, that brings up a direction to wrap this up on too. So
no, that's kind of where I was at with
it. It's the practical aspect of divination, and you've touched on it several times, but that's the important thing. Okay, so you know, what's divination? We've talked about that. You know, forms of it. We've talked about that. Now we get to the so what question. Well, remember that divination is basically, you know, spirit communication. It takes a lot of forms. It's finding hidden knowledge and supernatural means or beyond the physical means, which are all part of the human condition. Psychic ability it's inherent in the human condition. It's not something that only a few people have. Everybody has it to one extent or another. Some people are gifted with it, just like they are with other things like piano or basketball. But everybody has this. It's part of collective consciousness. It's dialed into the force, if you will. It's what we have. So the practical aspect of this is that we want to keep it in perspective and keep it in balance. And I'll tell you a short story, too. And before I do, if you'd like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle card deck, just put your name in the chat room. But, you know, my mom in her later years, she was very religious, Christian, and she would begin to see signs in everything. You know, anything that happened, it was a sign. It was an omen from God or whatever. You know, telling her what she should do this, she should do that. And it got to the point where she would just read, you know, her own imaginings into anything that might happen. And I'm open-minded, but I'm not ready to say that, you know, this thing that happened is automatically a sign or a message from God. Somebody who could create all this, you know, still has to, you know, give us messages that are often confusing and, you know, you can't bank on them. Anyway, the point is that we have to keep it in perspective. We can dial in and we can look for meaning in things, but we also have to keep our head on our shoulders and our feet on the ground. And bear that in mind, that we are the captain of our own fate. We walk our own path. We choose that path to walk. And there's no enlightened, empowered being that's going to deny us that or take that away from us or require us to do his or her bidding. That is not the behavior of an enlightened, empowered being of any kind. We should be enlightened and empowered beings. And that's what this program is for, is to help us to all evolve and grow and learn and become, you know, higher in our awareness of life and our own selves and the plight of others. So we want to maintain level-headedness and sensibility when it comes to this stuff, not giving ourselves or giving our power away to anyone else, the ascended masters or God or anyone else. That's ours. That's our possession, or should be. You know, we need to be self-possessed. We need to possess our own power. And so that's just something we need to make sure that we don't give it away to others, or because all that is a slavery, folks. You know, if you're doing the bidding of another being, even if it's God, or if you're worshiping another being, even if it's God, that's slavery. You're doing somebody else's will, not your own. So do your own will. Keep your head on your shoulders. Assess things. Look for answers. And this is kind of like the inner oracle cards that we have. And if you're new to the program, you don't know what they are. They're just a deck of 54 cards and several suits, and they have nuggets. They're written on them. They're basically nuggets of wisdom.
And they're all about life skills, and they're designed to get you to think. And as Dr. Hunter mentioned at the outset of this, that a lot of times you pull several cards, and there's a central thread or theme or message that we can interpret, and it's up to us to interpret that. It's up to us to get the sense of what that might be trying to tell us, and it's basically the universe, you know. There's messages everywhere. There's lessons to be learned everywhere. So it's what your mind, your own higher self, is pointing out that you need to pay attention to. So that's the point. The real so what of it is there's a lot of forms of divination. There's a lot of things we can use it for, but we need to use it to become better and more enlightened and higher level beings.
You know, one of the things I tell all clients, and they get to know me, is the whole point of a reading is to give insight and a heads up. It's kind of like you want to cross the street. There's so many variables. You can try and dash across and beat the traffic. You can step off the curb, get splashed by water. You can just wait till you have a green light. You know, there's so many variables. So if you get a heads up, then it's up to you what to do with that. It's not interfering in somebody else's life. They've asked, you know, for it, some kind of direction, and you say, well, I think if you go this way, it's that, and that way, it's this, and what's the best one for you, you choose. So you take from a reading or cards or whatever it is, what you can extract, and you apply that to your life as you see fit. And it's not for anybody else to judge. That's the really important thing that I try to convey to everybody. I don't judge people. It means nothing to me. And that sounds like I don't care. I do care, but I can't care. Because if I care too much, I'm not going to read properly. I can't be attached to what other people do with their information. I can raise my eyebrows. I can have an opinion. But my opinion can't matter because it's you living your life. Mm-hmm. So speaking of threads, Fran pulled up for the third week in a row, number 43, and she asks a good question. She says, what's up with that? Is it for us or me? And I think that would be both. The card is expediency, and timing is everything. So I'll just give the shortened version of this. It's timing is everything. So that kind of goes along with what we're saying in a way. We can interpret it that way, that for success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. So that's having that intuition, knowing when to hold back, when to move forward, like when to cross that street, for instance. So, yes, message for you, Fran. I'm thinking you keep pulling it, so it might have more impact for you. But it's a really good lesson for all of us. Those are good words for everyone to be reminded of, to bring that to your conscious mind. So right, we have a number of people. Michael, maybe you'd like to help us out again and start off with Dr. Edward. I think I've been writing down names as I see them in the chat. Mm-hmm. If I've missed anybody, I'm sorry, but I have Dr. Edward first. So
I do as well, and I have a list going also. But okay. Dr. Edward, I've pulled, let's see, number 40, relationships.
Can I just inject for one second? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do my own experiment tonight. I have the inner oracle cards found out, and I have my tarot found out. And I thought, as we pick one, I wanted to pull out a tarot card and see the relationship. It was my own experiment. You say relationships. I just flipped over the King of Hearts, the King of Cups out of the tarot, which has everything to do with the heart and relationships. Very interesting to me.
That is interesting. I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out. But healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another.
See, I think that plays in, Edward, for working from your heart, but also having good insight. That's how I read that. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. Now, Kim, welcome to our group. Nice to see you here tonight. I have pulled number 4 out of the inner oracle cards, which is the past, present, and future. Now, that reads, the 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, you're accountable for your past, present, future. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. And remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Now, the tarot I pulled for you is the 7 of diamonds, which is the 7 of pentacles, which in a nutshell is harvest. After all the work you've put into something, you begin to harvest the benefits of it. Think of, you know, the harvest in the fall. Past, present, future. It's saying embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Sorry about that. Could have been a slip. I think that applies. I think there's a good correlation there. So Taz is next, Michael.
And for Taz, I pulled number 26, energy signature.
I might also state, while he's looking that up, that past, present, future, those laws are discussed in course B3. Kim's benefit, I think it's her next one.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy, and remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Now, for Tess, I pulled the 6 of clubs, which is 6 of wands. And anything to do with clubs or wands is change. Generally, that's the essence of the suit. And the 6 is, that's good. It's about the celebration of life and the commitment to community. And, you know, after you've invested yourself. So I think that there's, you know, how you're connecting, Taz, I think is a really good thing. And there's some changes. So Fran is next. I'm going to pull one for you, Fran, besides your number 43. And I got number 20, which is deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. See, that's what we're talking about, entanglement here. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not what you don't have. Release with patience. Now, I pulled for you the 9 of clubs. Again, that's a suit for change. But it is saying a bit of caution. I always call that one of the caution cards, like standing guard before you make a change, which, in my view, that's a real relationship with deliberate intent. Be very clear what you want to project for yourself. So I think it's just a moment of contemplation before you send that into the universe. I like that one. It's good. Yeah. Patrick is next, Michael.
And Patrick, I pulled number 9. Have we pulled that one tonight?
Nope.
Which one is it?
Number 9, empowerment. Just ring a bell for some reason. Deja vu, as it were. But, Patrick, that's number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Wow. Now, you see, I also pulled out the Ace of Swords, which is the Ace of Spades. And that's success through effort, success through overcoming something, a challenge, but there's assured success. So I see a relationship there too, Michael. Mm. That's another good one.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fitting.
Now, Ronaldo, I have number 2 in the inner oracle cards. Esteem and validation. I've also pulled a tarot card for you, which is a 2. It's interesting. So you've got number 2 in the oracle cards, and you've got the 2 of diamonds in, you've got a 2 in the tarot. So self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with demesteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. Now, I do see that relationship with the Two of Diamonds as balance. That's what that is. It's like juggling and balancing, putting it into perspective. So understanding esteem and validation, having that good sense of balance within yourself, that would, to me, would be the message there. I like it.
That's good.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think
Angie.
Yeah.
Put her name in there, too.
So, for Dr. Angie. Okay. We definitely pulled this one tonight. It's number 4, past, present, and future.
Wow. Right.
So that's a good reminder to be aware of that.
So, but as an alternate, I have pulled number 19, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there, as this may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Now, I also pulled for you, Angie, the Ace of Wands, Ace of Clubs. And that's success through achievement. So your effort, your insights, your achievement at this time. And I think success is assured through that vehicle. So she says, if you only knew, laugh out loud. So that one's for you. Just for my own benefit, I'm really rather impressed how, you know, no matter what kinds of divination we're using, it's coming across with a relevant message, and it's intertwined. So I hope you don't mind, Dr. Kelly, I conducted this little experiment. But
no, I don't mind. We'll talk about this later.
Interrupting Michael, too. I'm sorry about that. But I find it fascinating. And, you know, the inner oracle cards are absolutely relevant to the studies at IMHS and TFU, and that's why they were developed, and they have taken on a whole energy of their own. So I really enjoy them.
And if you are interested in a deck of your own of the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, then you can find them at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And just look for the link at the top that says store, and that's where they're at, and there's examples of them there too. So, any concluding thoughts, Michael, on your part?
Well, I've really enjoyed listening to the talk about divination. I've learned a lot tonight that I really didn't know going into it. One thing maybe we can get into another time, but one thing that's always fascinated me is divination through dreams and the some of the profound dreams that I've had in my life that I've had a moment of a little bit more than deja vu, where you have a powerful moment of recollection and you can almost swear that you can recall this moment having happened in a dream that kind of faded away. But I've always wondered if there is a tie there. I know it's been written about throughout the ancient,
I can talk about dreams.
Oh, good. So next week we're going to have a program on dreams. So
all right. I'm in. All right. I love talking about that. There's the old gypsy version about and interpretations of dreams. But we have we've advanced so much that there's other aspects besides just Magda would say that dreams are hopes, fears, hopes, and wishes. Or fears, hopes, and prophecy, sorry. But we now know they're layered, and we're developing as a species, our consciousness, multi-dimensions. There's all kinds of things going on. Ronaldo says dreams are the portal to the source, and that's a great discussion.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that for next week. So we've talked about a lot of interesting things this evening. Of course, different forms of divination. We've talked about expediency, relationships, past, present, future, a couple of times, sort of. Energy signatures, which is a powerful concept. Deliberate intent, another powerful concept. Empowerment, they're all powerful. Esteem and validation and invoking the counselor within. So a lot of food for thought, things to be reminded of, things to learn, things to apply and adopt in your own life as you walk your own path, not giving your power over to anyone else. So hopefully you've found value in the points that we discussed tonight. So as we've said, next week we'll talk about dreams, and there's always interesting, and had one or two recently myself that are rather interesting. So we'll look forward to that. Again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, those listening to the archive as well. Thanks to Michael and Dr. Hunter for your input. Appreciate it as always. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.